Luke chapter 14, please. Luke chapter 14. This morning we were in John 15 and we were speaking about how the world hates God, hates Jesus. And Jesus said, the world doesn't just hate me, it hates the Father. And he told the disciples, look, they're going to hate you because they hate me. And we understand what Jesus is teaching us in that very truth, that God didn't call us to this world to just make it a goal of people not liking us. We want everyone to like us, but we want to love everyone. But the truth of the matter is, there's going to be enemies made along the way. People that are not going to like the fact that you say Jesus is the only way. The very fact that you live for the Lord. The very fact of your faithfulness to the Lord. And you know, sometimes it comes from family. Opposition can come from family. Opposition can come from close friends. Opposition can come from the most religious people in the community. Do you realize when here in just a moment we're going to see, and even there in John 15, the most religious people of that time were the ones that were going to be crying out, crucify him, crucify him, when Jesus would go to the cross of Calvary. And here we have, I just want to bring out a few thoughts tonight along those same lines of being true disciples, true followers. And basically what it comes down to, church, is we want to consider ourselves not just fans of Jesus. We are followers of Jesus. And certainly the idea of a fan is I know a fan is someone who will root for you and they'll cheer for you, and boy, yes, I'm on Team Jesus. But there's an element there that is unhealthy as far as discipleship is concerned, and this is the reason why. Many times fans are fair weather fans. Just when things are going well, when they seem to be winning, when things seem to be going super good and everything's spectacular and sensational, but you let that team start getting some losses. Now, I don't want any of you Georgia fans getting under conviction here, okay? But when a team starts losing, and then the complaining starts, and man, you know, then this ticket sales plummet. Nobody's going to the games, and that's a typical how a lot of fans work. But listen, when it comes to following Jesus, we follow him faithfully, rain, shine. We faithfully serve him even when things aren't going well. That's what we find here. A message I heard recently. The preacher spoke on this passage, and he gave some very encouraging points that I believe have been a help to me, and I think we're going to just look at a few of these tonight. But let's notice there in our Bibles, it says there in chapter 14, verse 25, and there went great multitudes with him. That's a lot of people. Everything's looking great. And it says, and he turned and said unto them. Now, before I begin reading any more, get the setting here. This is a people that had gathered and followed Jesus that were very serious about listening to him. They were very serious about hearing his message, hearing his preaching. They heard and seen of the miracles and seen this man was with great authority. And boy, everyone was following him. And so Jesus is going to do something very intentionally, very much personally. He's going to turn and speak to them, and he's going to reiterate, I see you're following me, but I want to clarify something here. There are some conditions in following me. Now, the only condition for salvation is faith. Faith in what Jesus has done. That's the only condition. We come and we realize that we are sinners and that he's the only one that can save. But there are more conditions after you get saved to be a follower of Jesus. And I think that's dangerous. Sometimes I believe some people get those crossed over each other, and I believe that it can cause some confusion. But I don't follow Jesus to be saved. I follow Jesus because I am saved. I'm saved, and therefore I want to follow Him. Well, these people were following Him, but not all were saved. These people were following Him, and not all were serious. And He's going to identify that. And what He's going to identify is what we can all fall into the trap of, even as followers of Jesus, is that we follow circumstantial Christianity. If the circumstances are favorable, I'll follow God. If they fit into place, I'll follow the Lord. But here, He's going to say in verse 26, He's going to turn to this crowd, and this is what Jesus says. If any man come to Me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, what are the next five words here? He cannot be My disciple. Let's say it one more time. He cannot be My disciple. That's what Jesus said. Now He said, He didn't say He couldn't be saved. He said He couldn't be My disciple. That's a true follower of Jesus, and that's what I'm praying that my heart would be and your heart would be, that we would be passionate, relentless, unapologetic followers of Christ. Not budging at all and just being sold out for what He's doing. This is what He's talking about here. And so we see He has a message to help them understand whether or not they really do want to follow the Lord. Now, we have to be careful because there are many churches out there that play on people's emotions. They look how to get people into the emotional swing of things. And if they can, again, get everything looking bright and beautiful. Hey, everything's good here. Just come on and join us. It's following the crowd. And I'm just going to be honest with you here. When I look at Scripture, and Jesus is not interested in the doctrine of following the crowd. Because this crowd right here is a big crowd. But this crowd is about to shrink. This crowd is going to get smaller because of the condition that Jesus puts out before these people on what does it mean to be My disciple. You see, there's a clarification here. He confronts them. He says, number one, it's a choice. This discipleship is a choice. And Brother Kurt Scaly made this point in his message. You know, one of the easiest places to hide is in the crowds. One of the easiest places to hide is in the crowds. And Jesus is about personal discipleship, personal accountability. That's why I love the local church. And I think about the story that I'm reading. Man, we're helping each other. We're encouraging each other. We're holding each other accountable in our journey with God. But He's was saying, look, you're going to have to make an individual decision here. Are you going to follow Me? But then notice the relational decision. Notice all the relations He gives there. He talks about the parents, the father and mother. He talks about the spouse. Now, why didn't He mention husband here? Well, I believe it's because He's addressing first here the husbands that were present. Men, leaders of that time. He doesn't mention husband, but He mentions these others. But He's challenging these men and all of them that want to follow God. Are you willing to, as in comparison to following Me, are you willing to hate them? It goes back exactly what I was saying this morning. This idea of hate here is not the same as just having animosity towards someone. Jesus is not, certainly not suggesting that you hate your parents with bitterness and wrath. Certainly that would be contradicting Himself. what is one of the commandments is to honor thy father and thy mother. But look, that word hate there goes back to what we talked about this morning in John chapter 15. That hate there is saying, look, this is what I am telling you. In comparison to you following me or you following your parents, if your parents tell you not to follow me, you are to abandon them. In the sense of, hey, I cannot be more loyal to you than I am to my Savior. We ought to continue loving for loved ones and praying for them. But Jesus is really putting these people on the spot. I got an idea. I wasn't there, so I can't prove this. I got a suspicion that the crowd really thinned out after this point. Thinned out the crowd. Because Jesus is saying, look, if you're going to constantly be thinking about, well, I want to appease these people and this person, and boy, these people think I've gotten too fanatical, and these people are thinking I'm too radical. I mean, I'm trying to walk with God. I'm witnessing. I'm on fire for the Lord. I'm going to church. I'm seeking to be hearing the Word of God. I'm repenting. Man, God's working in my marriage. And you're going to have people around you that are like, whoa, they're going to oppose that. And Jesus said, look, you got to be willing to say, even children, even parents, even siblings, you got to be willing in comparison to me. Hey, sometimes those relational situations, it's interesting. He mentions authorities. He mentions a relationship of affection, wife and children. And then he even says this. You can't leave yourself out here. Notice what he says at the end of verse 26. He says, yea, and his own life. That means that what Brinson Jennings has to do daily as a follower of Christ, I got to wake up and say, Lord, I got some plans today, but at any time you want to change them, Lord, you change them. I got this idea of where I'm going to be 2 years, 3 years, 10 years from now, but the truth of the matter is, Lord, I'm your disciple, and you tell me what to do, and you tell me where to go. That's where we want to do it, not in this incremental commitment. But we see here this relational decision. It talks about it as a serious decision. Notice he says here, you can't be my disciple. Verse 27, whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Now, this is very important for us to understand the symbolism of the cross. Now, the Jews did not use the cross for execution. Okay? The Romans did. What did the Roman cross represent? It represented one of the things as Roman authority. And so, the Roman authority, when people were crucified, it was to scare the daylights out of people. That's why it was such a public display. The Bible talks about people walked by when Jesus was being crucified, and there were people shouting and yelling at Jesus as he and the two thieves were being crucified. And it happened like that all the time. It was an open spectacle. It was an open display of cruelty, but it was a show of power, of authority from the Roman government. And what Jesus is saying here, he's saying, if you're going to be my disciple, get it. This world needs to know that you have a new king. You have a new authority. You're no longer your own authority. You don't have someone else that you're seeking to appease or please. You have, listen, I believe that a good mantra for the child of God is to live for the audience of one. The audience of one. It's not that we don't seek to encourage, and certainly it doesn't mean we don't submit to one another. The Bible's clear on that. But when it comes right down to it, hey, if it means losing a relationship for the sake of my following God, God should win every time. That's clear in Scripture. It was a higher authority. But not only that, but it was an identification. You think upon carrying that cross through the city. It was obvious that it was bearing that cross was an identity. This is my life right now. This is what I've been given. The cross was what that person was identified with at that time. And as I said this morning, this is something that we are not ashamed of. We will take up our cross and we will follow Him daily. But then, as He ends His message here, basically verses 28 through 33, He gives an illustration, okay, of counting the cost, because He knew these people were inquiring and wanting to follow Him. So He gives an illustration here. Notice what He does. Verse 28, "For which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that he behold, it began to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish." That's one of the illustrations He gives. And then, not only does He give that one, but then He's going to go and talk about a king going to war. Notice what He does here. He says in verse 31, "Or what king going to make war against another king sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise," He said, "whoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple." You know, I think this comes down to where you and I are tonight, and we just realize, Lord Jesus, I want to be all in. I want to be all in. I don't want to be reserved here. And I think Jesus has given them an opportunity to, hey, just don't let this be an emotional decision, because sometimes I've done it, we've done it, I've been part of it. It's just sometimes it's the human nature. Sometimes if we have the right music playing, sometimes if we have a huge crowd and there's lots of energy and activity, a lot of that can play on the emotions and it can get feet moving. But if that's all we're going for, we're missing the point. It needs to be a heart decision. And it's almost like the Lord is saying, I want y'all to think about this. Count the cost. It's going to cost you to follow me. And I don't think in any way He was trying to discourage him from following Him, but He's saying, look, this is not all about fun and games. This is not all about, there's a lot of messy stuff as a disciple of Christ that you will walk through in this messy world. But Jesus is saying, look, you carry your cross, the power of God, as He told us, encouraged us in John 15, hey, be of good cheer, I am with you. But I even think tonight, as we close out and we go into the new week that God has given us, let's respond. And I got an encouraging conclusion here. A lot of these people didn't respond, but let me show you a group that did respond. Notice with me, in chapter 15, these are sectioned out by chapters, but they really go right together. It says, then, after He dealt with this crowd, He confronted this crowd with what it means to be a disciple. I love this. Then drew near unto Him all the what? Publicans and sinners for to hear Him. They came because they didn't have anything to lose. They were coming to let God speak to them. And then you had that group in verse 2. It says, and the Pharisees and scribes what? Murmured. They weren't interested in being changed. And I'm thankful, and I believe tonight I'm looking at a group of people. I believe you're interested in being changed. Don't ever stop that, friend. And you pray that I don't ever stop. Lord, change me. I need you today. I need you to change me. Lord, I want to grow. I want you to deal with me because I want to be a true disciple of loving my wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. I want to nurture my children in the admonition of the Lord. I do not want to provoke them to anger lest they be discouraged. No, I want to love my neighbor. I want to love my neighbor as myself. I want to walk with God, and so do you. But it's going to cost us. It's going to cost us our pride. It's going to cost maybe some popularity. It's going to cost some conveniences sometimes and some comfort. But is our Lord, is He not absolutely worthy? He absolutely is. So these Pharisees, they murmured. May God help us not to be that crowd, but be the crowd that draws nigh unto God. Says those publicans and sinners drew near. I pray that will be our testimony tonight. Let's draw nigh to God. Let's pray. Father, thank you.